We would be honored if you would join us.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy.
I know this is hard for you, but winter is coming.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger.
Avengers!
Assemble.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Mirage. Who is scruffy looking?
Less.
Might wanna buckle up, baby.
Carlos.
Smash you.
King Tom.
Hey guys, you ever see that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
And of course, Randy.
Change?
Yeah.
Big change.
They got your weekend geek covered. And you? You're on the Sith List.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 282 of the Sith List. I'm your host, Raj Dolachahi, and my co-pilots this evening, the young, the restless, the bearded one, the man in yellow, Mr. Carlos.
Buarguel.
Is it yellow or is it just a light that looks like it's yellow?
It's neon green.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah.
I knew it was something different.
It's a bold color choice. This is my, if somebody hits me at work, they are aiming for me shirt. So, yeah.
Oh, I like it.
My high
like
visibility, please don't hit me shirt.
The man I call Crunch Crunch, the man who can't get him off of YouTube. He's commenting like crazy. Mr. Les.
He's just chilling.
Yeah. That's the problem. Gonzalez. The man that we call the king of all pods, Mr. Tom Chansky. King Tom, what is up?
You know, stuff, things. That's about it.
Hey, the man by the name of Randy. What's up, buddy?
Hello, hello.
Les is in a little chipper mood, man. I don't know what's
going on. I'm so sorry, man. I'm not in a chipper mood.
Did Les get another booster shot? Did you get another booster shot or something?
No, I'm actually not in a good mood at all.
You're not?
No.
Oh, well, that's not good. You seem like you're in a good mood.
I'm trying.
And the man I call El Hombre, Mr. Eric Struthers. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Everything is great and awesome. I've been busy replying as Les to all of his YouTube comments.
Right. You know? So the people that are listening, we had a
hang on, but I just want you to know that every comment is GoBots aren't that bad, okay, guys?
No matter what the question is.
Right. I thought every comment was about him working out. But for the listeners, we had a little pre-production meeting, a long one actually tonight, and we were talking about how Les doesn't contribute with comments on YouTube for people that leave comments. While I'm trying to, you know, interact with all of our followers and subscribers and listeners and people that view, even the assholes I'm interacting with, because it all helps. So I was just, you know, trying to motivate Les to.
Mind you that these two are the only people who are responsible for commenting on YouTube stuff. So he's just kind of throwing Les under the bus in front of all of us.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm doing.
Another show begins with an attack on me.
Did you tell Les that commenting
is a good arm
workout?
That's true, Les. That's three episodes. You know what? You're right. Les, if you do those comments at that time with your fingers, you can actually probably do another 2 or 3 pounds on your arm curls.
Skip forearms, man. Just skip it. You're good.
That's it.
All right.
Just kidding, Les. I get it, dude. You need to sleep. It's not like you have today or the next day or the whole week or the whole year to do it. But I'm glad everybody's doing well. That's 3 weeks in a row we've attacked Les. Les, we'll stop next week. We won't go after you.
My gosh, man.
All right. Eric, you said you were doing great.
I am, man. You know, Christmas is my favorite, and we had the grandest of Christmases. And I've had all this week off, so that's also really, really great.
That's the best.
Yeah. Of course, now I have a New Year's Eve gig and a New Year's Day afternoon gig. That's going to be rough.
That is going to be rough. Yeah. New Year's Eve. And things are like, this Omicron is like, it's crazy. I've never, during this whole COVID span, I've never had so many people that I know have come down with COVID or have brothers or sisters or friends that have come down with COVID. It's crazy. It's like, it's spreading like wildfire. It's insane.
Oh, hey, to flip back to Christmas real quick, if I may.
Yeah.
This will just take a second. So did I tell you guys last week that, you know, for people who aren't hip to it, we have an elf on the shelf, right? That comes and it watches your kids and makes sure they're not screwing up. And then it goes back to tell Santa, hey, these kids are dicks. But anyway, so Stella, 2 days before Christmas Eve, this would have been last Wednesday when we recorded, she left her last minute, last ditch effort letter to Santa. And it, along for the elf to take back. And along with it, she included this, dang it, persuasive writing assignment for school that was a letter to Santa laying out all of the reasons she deserved an iPad.
Oh.
Well, it was quite good. So I hopefully she can't hear me. She got an iPad. After we got done recording, had to find a place that had one. And old Santa was busy hunting one down and then had to go pick it up Thursday before rehearsal. So, yeah.
Which one did you end up picking up?
Just the normal iPad, the 9th gen, the 64 gig.
Very nice. I've been looking at that Air, it looks like.
That's right. Value. Did you guys see? I'm just go ahead, Eric.
No,
ahead.
The Air, I think, is a really good way to go.
Yeah, it really is.
I just wasn't, you know, Santa wasn't wanting to drop that kind of bucks, I don't think.
Right. Lorena got the Air recently, and she loves it. I think it's amazing. What I was going to ask you guys, if you guys saw Chris Fresh's son's response.
Yes.
Oh, my God. It was awesome. He got the PS5, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, get the fuck out.
And he was so excited, man. It was like Christmas, the epitome of Christmas joy.
How many like Yakuza members did he have to kill to get that thing?
I think only three.
Jeez. His story of that was really something, man.
Yeah.
Some friends who had been in the queue to buy one when they became available knew how badly his son wanted this and offered to let him buy it and take it. And that's really
so
rad.
Great. That is so awesome. Great. Yeah. Yeah, very cool, Fresh. Very cool. I'm so happy for you and your family and all that great stuff. I hope everybody had a great Christmas, by the way, and happy holidays. We had a good one here, and can't wait for New Year's. That should be interesting. We're going to have a party here. Well, we're going to have a party still. The list was about 150 people, and then because of Omicron and everything that's going down, the list has come down to about 30. It's crazy, which is, I guess, for the best.
Probably.
But, yeah, especially Fauci just came out yesterday and said, don't have big parties. So we're like, oh, okay. Thanks, Fauci. 30's not big. This is great.
He's invited,
also,
though, right?
He is invited. He's coming, by the way. He's coming. Okay, he's the 49th.
Yeah.
But one thing I do want to say that I'm getting really frustrated. I don't want to be political on this show, but I just want to let people know. If you're vaccinated and you have the booster, okay, you still can get the virus. So I'm so tired of people talking to me and text message saying, why did I get the booster? I ended up getting the virus. I ended up getting COVID. So people, you got it so you don't die. Okay? So you can get the virus if you have the shots. It doesn't mean that the shots don't work. It means that you can live. That's all I will say. Okay? I don't want to get political, but that's... I just wanted to, I don't know why I have to explain this, but I have had to explain this multiple times to multiple people. It was just frustrating.
I like how getting political now falls under anything that someone doesn't want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't get political there.
I don't want to get political, but I want to tell you the truth
Wouldn't the concept be the same as putting on a raincoat? You're still going to get wet. Your clothes just won't be soaked.
That,
you know,
Les, that's exactly right.
Thanks,
like,
wow. Well done, Les.
Motherfucker's
well
philosopher.
But what do I know? I'm from California. I just put on an actual sweater and go out in the rain like an idiot because we really don't know how to handle.
Oh, I don't. Weather. I wear t-shirts.
Yeah, exactly. V-necks. Yeah, that's what we do. But you know, I do.
I wear V-necks in the rain.
I thought that if you were, that's how it works, right? You put something on, so you're inevitably, you know, still going to get water on you.
Right.
But if you wear a raincoat, your clothing won't be soaked. Hence, you may not get pneumonia. You might get the sniffles.
There it is. That's right? Bingo. You're done for the night, Les. Perfect.
All right. I'm gone.
Yes. well, let's, you know, okay, let's forget about that. But how's everybody else doing? I know, Eric, I asked you. Boo, you doing well?
I'm good. I'm good. Because of the days that Christmas and New Year's Day fell on, which is Saturdays. Very cool. I got gypped out of 2 days off this year.
It is bullshit. I hear you.
That's bullshit. So some plans may be in the work. A little bit of sniffles might be coming to town.
A little sick day action.
A little sick day action because that ain't cool. That ain't cool, man. Fuck that.
What can Brown do for you? Brown can fuck you off of vacation days.
Exactly. Yeah, I get 5 a year. Now it's cut down to 3. Not in this house. Fuck that.
Mm-hmm. Not in this house.
But besides that, I'm good. You know, Christmas is over. Thank God. Thank God. It's a stressful time of year, but I love it. Christmas is great. You know, it's everybody's, you know, happiness is just cranked up just a little bit more, which is nice, even if they might be dying inside. It's okay. But I'll fake smile. Light up a Christmas tree, have some eggnog, we're all good. So I'm good, and I'm looking forward to New Year's.
Yes, I am too.
When you say light up a Christmas tree, what I don't think you mean is put lights on a Christmas tree.
Whatever tree you want to light up is up to you.
Spark that bad boy up, right?
That's right. Light up the tree. Yeah. Randy, how you doing, bud?
Doing all right, man. Glad Christmas is over. I hate the holidays. I'm just
do you really
with you guys? Yeah, because business is always really slow. This is the only time of year where I should have money, but I don't because work is just really fucking slow.
And it's when you're supposed to have the most money because you got to spend the most money.
Yeah, arguably. Yeah. So I'm not a big fan of Christmas.
No,
I don't like it.
But you know what, Randy? Guess where you're going next weekend?
Where am I going?
You're going to Las Vegas, baby.
Las Vegas, Nevada. Yeah. The place going where everyone's dreams come true.
That's right. Three of the six, half of the Sith list will be in Las Vegas. And I don't think it'll be three coming back, if you know what I mean.
What?
I don't know what I just said. What?
Somebody's getting buried out in the desert. Yeah, that's buddy. Right.
Yeah. Randy's like, I'm not going.
I don't want to get political.
King Tom Chansky, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. You know, I built a model for the first time in high school, and it reminded me that I hate building models.
Oh, except for the smell of model glue. Remember that smell?
Mm. Yeah, I did. There was no glue. This was all pieces that snapped together and hurt my damn ass fingers.
Oh, I love the snap ones when I was a kid.
They were great, but the high you got off the model glue?
Yeah.
Damn. Really?
I should just dunk the whole thing in a big vat of glue anyway.
Sure I used to get high together with models all the time, man.
Yeah, crazy, right?
This is really a thing, really?
Oh, yeah. Especially the military ones that took like 1,000 pieces.
Getting like 8 years old. Like, why?
Oh, no, this was last week, buddy.
Oh, okay. Well, now we're talking.
I want to hear more about Eric's story.
Yeah, Eric's model story sounds better, yeah.
Anyway.
Les, how you doing?
Sorry, I had to unmute myself. I'm doing okay, man. I'm hanging in there.
Good. Well, I'm glad. I've been having to mute myself because, Boo, your mom and dad and Lorraine are in the next room. They're having a full-on convo, and they know I'm in here recording, but, you know, that's okay.
They should be expected to suspend their entire life just so that we can get the show recorded. That's not unreasonable.
Well, let me tell you why they should. Home. They have their own home on the property now.
Yes.
Like, we have a house in a house.
Oh, okay. Well,
we have a house outside the house.
But they choose to have a conversation next to one of the most listened to podcasts and all of the internet.
Maybe that's what it is.
The numbers? Have you showed the numbers?
I have. Maybe that's why they're trying to get on without getting on. You know what I mean?
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
Are they talking about you or talking about Boo?
They're talking about Boo right now.
They're talking about a shirt?
No, they haven't seen a shirt.
How can you not see that shirt?
Yeah, exactly. No,
that's true. That's true. I think there's stuff going on. I think we should get into it. We've been talking about jibber jabber. Actually, we haven't been talking about jibber. We've been gibbering and jabbering. But let's get into, forget the shenanigans and all that shit. Let's just jump into the box office. Spider-Man No Way Home. Unbelievable second weekend. Guys, $81.5 million. Holy hell. That's unreal. It's at $1 billion as we speak. Actually, it's at $1,054,000,000. Last time I checked, that was yesterday. It's probably at even more now. So it's the first movie to gross $1 billion since
Rise of Skywalker.
Since Rise.
No, The Force Awakens here. Let me read this to you. This comes from the boxofficemojo.com. It was a very Merry Christmas and then some for Peter Parker and the skyscraper swinging superhero's latest adventure, Spider-Man No Way Home, soared past the 1 billion barrier at the global box office in just the second week. Oh, okay. It's the first movie since 2015's The Force Awakens to do it in week number two. Which is very impressive, especially when we got a crazy virus going around. If you think about it, how well would this have done if COVID wasn't around? Unreal. So $81 million. Sing 2, which is pretty impressive, $23.8 million. Not bad. I mean, come on. Especially when the weekend when Matrix comes out. And that made $12 million, unfortunately. And The Kingsman, $6.4 million. So there's your little top four right there. American Dog is in the top five, but I didn't even put a number. So I guess it made, like, let's just guess, $3.2 million. American Underdog, and that's the movie about Kurt Warner, the football player from the Rams.
You're going to see that tomorrow.
Kurt Schilling.
Oh, are you going to go see that tomorrow? It's definitely not about Kurt Schilling, no.
No, it's not about Kurt Schilling.
It would be an American Asshole, that would be called. not American Underdog. No.
You know that movie, that Kurt Warner movie is from a Christian movie.
Christian movie. Yeah. First big production with those kind of like A-list actors from that studio that they're pulling out. And the studio does really well with those Christian movies.
Well, good on them, man.
Yeah, very, very cool. I heard it's the Rotten Tomato scores have been great for it.
That's good.
And I know Kurt Warner is very spiritual and very religious, so yeah, good on this. It's a crazy story.
It is nuts.
It's a crazy story. So, I'd like to get your take on it, Boo, when you see it. That'd be cool.
Well, never mind. Go on.
All right. Let's talk about The Matrix. We have some people that saw it. We're going to spoil it real quick. I don't care. I haven't seen it, but I don't care if you spoil it for me. So, who saw it here? Boo, you saw Matrix? No, Les. Les, you saw it.
Yeah, I'm the only one I think that saw it.
No, I think Randy, you saw it, didn't you?
Yeah, if you can call it that.
No, okay. Somebody stop watching it. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, so Randy and Les. Les, I'll go with you. What's your take on this?
It is perfect for streaming. It is perfect for being at home, not going to a theater, even though the visual effects are it was probably rewarding to see them in 3D or to see them on IMAX. But in all honesty, if you got your legit new TV, just watch it at home.
Just watch it at home. Okay. So nothing compelling, nothing to wow you.
Okay, so there were plenty of things to wow, but if they're gonna lay the satire on and the parody and the
meta commentary,
through the looking glass kind of feel, you know, of like this is what society is and all that stuff. Yeah, it was just really, really thick on, you know, just really, 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 really. And I know there's a message in there somewhere, but you do not need to pay the exorbitant movie prices or the prices to go see a movie that we have to pay out here in Southern California. Not for that. You could just see it at home.
Okay, just okay.
Air fry some hot wings or something and just hang out. That's it.
Air fry some hot
catch
wings.
Catch it all. Just get a case of beers or something. Yeah, and all right, we're going to attempt to do this. Because at some point, you're going to just shake your head. But I do like what they rearranged some things. And I enjoy what they did there.
Okay. Randy, what was your take?
It was just stupid. I'm not really going to have some like big like fucking film critic review. It's just fucking dumb, dude.
I'm just trying to make it easier to swallow, everyone. It
sucks. It sucks. It's a rehash of the first movie, and the ideas they do have are like so surface level that the first one is so cool because it brings over these ideas that a lot of people hadn't considered, especially at the age we were when we saw that movie.
Right.
So now seeing this movie and seeing the ideas that they're bringing to the table, they're very surface level ideas that pretty much anyone who's even kind of thought about things is kind of, oh, yeah, that's kind of a given.
Not only that, the technology with the special effects were so amazing and were so like, oh my God, at the time.
Yeah, there's definitely not, even like from choreography to like the special effects, it's just not on the same level. I mean, it's on par, but it's not like, it hasn't advanced with time. Like the ideas aren't advanced, and the story is actually regressed, and the everything else is just kind of, it's the same thing.
Right.
It's disappointing.
Right. That is disappointing. That is, and they didn't even ask Lawrence Fishburne to be in. I saw an interview with him. He's like, they're like, so what was going on? What, why didn't you decide to be in it? And he's like, they never called me and asked me. He was like blunt about it. He's like, I wish the best for it, but I would have loved to be in it, but they never even asked. Yeah. So, yeah.
Was there ever any reason for that given?
Why they? I don't know. Tries to, and I'm not sure how much is intentional or just a matter of circumstance, but they almost try to position the movie as the lore of the story, as if like the movie is the retelling of what actually happened. So Lawrence Fishburne would be like the character that played the story. And that's at least the way I took it. But it gets a little convoluted when they start getting into like the video game of it and all that.
I took it as that they were able to advance certain technology to just go ahead and say, this is how we're going to interpret this anyway. Right. We're just going to do it this way. I mean, if people don't really care, I mean, I guess, are we going to spoil it?
Honestly, you shouldn't care. Honestly.
So ultimately,
we're doing you a favor, Randy.
Ultimately, if I'm not mistaken, they switched the roles. So Neo is just Neo, but Trinity is the new one. She's the one now.
Carrie Ann Moss.
Yes. Who was fine. I liked her. She was all good. If there was something to take from it, I'll take it.
Well, how was Neo? How was Keanu? Awesome? Like, Kelly, was it cool? Yeah, Keanu's cool,
man.
He
was Keanu, and then, like, he was even the Keanu we all made fun of back in the day. He was basically the, whoa. That was him. It was him, and it was perfect for this, because he was just walking through the thing just in a haze. Right. Just dumbly in a haze of just whatever you want to, whatever, Percocets, all the drugs. He was just like,
he was on it.
He was just lumbering along, just like, and then, you know, you're like, all right, cool. They changed some things that may be okay. Like, apparently after Matrix 3, the program decided to rewrite itself and actually give AIDS, and there was harmony between the humans outside of the Matrix and the machines. So you had droids, I guess you could say, like droids that were helping and they were on the side, and then programs, apps or programs you could write or were written to help humans inside and outside of the Matrix.
Really engaging stuff.
Like right now,
I'm like fucking on the edge of my seat just hearing you tell it again.
Well, let's read an email from Avery, and he wants to talk about it. So, Avery, I hope these guys didn't disappoint you. Let's see what he thinks. I haven't read this email. Les, you want to take this email? Sure, you were really pumped up about it earlier. Let's do it.
Hey guys, hope you all had great Christmases and enjoyed your time with friends and family. Another 60 pounds heavier myself from all the food that was consumed, but since New Year's just around the corner, I can always make resolutions, I guess. Anyway, I had a chance to watch the fourth Matrix installment on HBO Max, ding, 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 with my cousin, who's a big Matrix fan and hadn't seen it yet. Okay. On my second viewing, I have to say that I really liked this movie, and even though my cousin had some gripes, he gave it his approval as well. I apologize in advance for the long email. As is this case with many popular franchises these days, there is a large discourse about this installment, with a lot of people just coming out and hating this movie.
Randy.
After hearing what some of your friends thought on your last episode, I encourage all you guys to see it, to officially make up your minds on Resurrections. I will say that while the first act of the movie feels very strange and unfamiliar, the meta attitude that this movie has was actually appealing to me.
Resurrections has the tough job of re-energizing the atmosphere of the Matrix in a world that, for all natural purposes, has become more plugged in the last 20 years, as well as continuing a story that, in my opinion, was left open-ended in Revolutions. While I liked how the original trilogy ended, I feel more satisfied with how Resurrections wrapped up in terms of where the characters are at in the end and where the story could go from here if they choose to continue it. More than anything, this just felt like a Matrix movie to me as soon as Neo woke up and was brought back to the real world. The nostalgia returned instantly, but was not overwhelming, in my opinion. It would just continue the story 60 years later from where Revolutions ended. Which made sense for why Lawrence Fishburne's Morpheus is no longer alive.
Well, there you go.
Ding, ding, ding. I also found myself really liking the newcomers as well.
He's in the movie a lot, but...
Jessica Henwick's character of Bugs was great throughout the whole movie, and Jonathan Groff's iteration of Smith was surprisingly entertaining, despite the fact that I did miss Hugo Weaving. All in all, seeing Keanu Reeves and Carrie Ann Moss to be badasses again was fantastic, and the ultimate twist that Trinity is now on par with Neo's powers leaves the door open for some interesting avenues to take this story. However, if they choose not to make any more films, I feel that it's a satisfying conclusion or epilogue to the original Matrix storyline too. I will be the first to agree that this movie is not perfect, nor is it the strongest installment, but I felt that it had a lot of heart and wasn't just a senseless reboot trying to retread old ground. I know the age-old phrase of it's okay not to like a movie, but the almost instant negativity that people have towards Resurrections is just as disheartening as hearing people bash The Last Jedi or any part of the Star Wars sequel trilogy. Everyone is entitled to their opinion for sure, but I also think it's important to consider where the filmmakers were coming from and what kind of story they were trying to tell. I always approach a film with the reminder that I am not a filmmaker or screenwriter, and that I don't know all the obstacles that occur while trying to make something you hope fans will like. On the other hand, I suppose I'm not just overly critical most of the time. I like a lot of unpopular films, which include Wonder Woman 1984, Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, and Tenet. Ultimately, I understand that everyone will think what they will about things, and that's fine. I just wanted to share my thoughts so you all can see that there are different perspectives on this film, which is important. Sorry again for the long email, and again, I wish you the happiest of holidays and a happy new year. Looking forward to listening in 2022.
Well, thank you, Avery. Thank you for saying Tenet, because I just put this whole thing.
Fuck Tenet.
What, did you think I was going to fall asleep?
No, I wanted you. King Tom wasn't looking. He was looking down. I wanted you to look at the screen because that was coming, and I wanted to bust out a little video.
I beat your little video clip anyway.
You did. You felt it. You felt that.
Fuck Tenet.
I always feel that.
I love the best is your face afterwards. You're just smiling like a champ. Well, Avery, I appreciate the review. I appreciate your concerns, the people shitting on it. I agree, man. Like Eric always says, Eric, what do you always say?
Hey, man, ace job liking what you like.
That's right, man. If you like this, well, that's awesome, man. Good for you.
Now, the one thing I want to throw in there, okay, when we talk about, and mind you, I am not on the inside of this the way I was with The Last Jedi, but I had never seen the sort of outcry about a movie and a franchise as I did with The Last Jedi from like going hard in on the creatives behind it and like hijacking, what's the word I'm looking for? Condolences for somebody passing away, hijacking threads on that to talk about how this movie ruined their lives and ruined their childhood and undid all these things.
Right.
Now, I think that is a level of extreme that you're not likely to see. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's what people are saying about this Matrix film. I've not caught that vibe, but I'm also not ensconced in it the way I am with Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah. That's I wouldn't say it. Obviously, it didn't ruin my life. It ruined a couple hours of my night. And I'm disappointed about that, but I'm going to get past it. It's just one of those movies that the original one was really good, and this one is just kind of servicing.
What I'm going to say is this. So I saw Don't Look Up. That's on Netflix.
So did I. I was going to talk about that next.
Now, what I want to say is the when you have the Matrix and then you have Don't Look Up, they're both going hard on just the meta right now.
Yeah, the societal.
It is just, but the way they do it in Don't Look Up, I really like that.
Me too.
They tried to go too hard in the Matrix. They just tried to do too much. And you know what? All the elements play perfectly when you're looking at what the Matrix would be. Just this whole haze of misinformation and, you know, people were constantly screaming, wake up, everybody, this is not real. You know, like this whole kind of thing. So that's understood if those are the pillars of what the Matrix is supposed to be. They're there. I mean, I guess maybe I do have to watch it again, though. But hey, Avery saw it at home. Just telling you right now, there it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. And that definitely helps. Like, you don't feel like you were cheated out of anything, you know, really. But going back to Don't Look Up, I want to say Adam McKay's, it's a complete satire. And if you go into it thinking that it's a satire and it's a play on, it's pretty much just a big fuck you to how news media, politicians, social media, and how it's presented and how we consume it. Phenomenally written. Have you watched anybody else watch it? No. I would definitely watch it because DiCaprio is fucking great. If you like DiCaprio losing his shit constantly,
he's been doing this lately. He's, you know, been taking some roles where his hair gets, it's all perfect. And all of a sudden his hair just like, exactly. And you're just like, whoa, not
he's,
you.
He's awesome. J-Law's awesome in it. Yeah. Meryl Streep is phenomenal in it. The A-list actors, they have Shyamalan in it. He's great. Everybody's good.
Chalamet.
I'm sorry. Chalamet. Yeah, he's phenomenal. Might as well
say Shyamala. It's not good.
Shyamalamala. yeah, man. So I really liked it. I definitely liked it. I also saw a movie called The Power of the Dog on Netflix. It's and Eric, I think you might dig this. It's a Western. It's a slow burn. Did you watch it, Boo?
No. I was just trying to remember what it was. It's the one with Cumberbatch.
Jesse Plemons and Kristen Dunst.
Yeah.
And really slow burn. It's in Montana back in the, I think, 1918 or something, in the 1920s. And there's a big payoff at the end. It's pretty cool. And it's done really well. And it's a beautifully filmed movie. So if you like Westerns, and great acting, check that out. And I also saw something last night that I saw a lot of things this week. Wind River. This came out in 2017. It's with Jeremy Renner and also with Elizabeth Olsen. It's got two Avengers in it, but it's about a murder that happens on a reservation. And fucking great, man. I can't believe that this flew under the radar. Please check it out. It's really, really well done. It's a murder mystery, but Jeremy Renner is phenomenal in it. And Elizabeth Olsen, she's great too, man. She's great in whatever she does. So Wind River, I believe it's called. That's on Netflix as well.
It's been part of my watch list for a long time.
Oh, has it? Oh, good. Yeah, so you've heard of that. Okay, good.
Yeah, because I've heard it's amazing. Yeah, heard the
It's really good. Yeah, it's really good. You should definitely check it out. Did anybody else watch anything worth talking about at all? King Tom, Eric?
We watched Encanto tonight. It was pretty good. I was dozing off at the beginning, which is not a commentary on the quality of the movie. Mm-hmm. It's more of a commentary on me staying up until 3 a.m. playing Hitman. But it's the story. It's a little.
Yeah, that's what my in-law said.
A little swervy. It's kind of hard to tell exactly what they were trying to do, but the animation's great, the music's great, the characters are endearing, and it was a good time overall.
Cool.
And the kids liked it, so there's that.
Yeah, that's all that matters. All right, so I think it's time, guys, to get into a little Star Wars. So
it's time for Eric's Star Wars report.
Man, that's just so epic. I feel like anything I say can never live up to it. So it was always easier hearing that after the fact than hearing it before I actually start talking. The only thing going on that's even worth talking about is the Book of Boba Fett. Universally loved, panned by none.
Everybody loved it.
Everybody loved it. Scale of 1 to 10, hell yes. That's, I think that sums it up. But for reals, today we got the first episode of the first season of hopefully many of the Book of Boba Fett. And my Roku last night told me at 11:30, stream Book of Boba Fett right now. And I'm like, what? Click over on it. This content isn't available in your area right now. It's sucks. But yeah, so got up and watched it this morning. And I got to tell you, it was a show. So what did you guys think? Let's go straight to the hates. And are we spoiling this at all?
Yeah, so listen, people, we are definitely spoiling the first episode. So if you don't want to be spoiled and you haven't seen it yet, please forward. I don't know, 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. I don't know. We're going to talk about it for a while. We're going to talk about Easter eggs and all kinds of stuff that was in it. So please, here we go. Let's talk about it. I'm going to ask everybody this because I always do and I love this. What is your one word review on the show? Instant review kind of thing, like your reaction of what you thought. King Tom?
Vulnerability.
Oh, that's a good one. I already got Randy's today, but Randy, what was your one-word review?
I'm going with Gamorrean.
Gamorrean. Okay. Eric?
Fragile.
Oh, okay. Boo?
Sunscreen.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mine was heartburn. And Les?
OG.
Yeah. That is true. Okay, so let me give you my real quick take on it. I gave it an 8 out of 10 last night. I'm gonna retract on that. I'm gonna give it a, thinking back on it, I'm gonna give it a 7 out of 10. There were some things that I really loved about it, and there were some things that I just didn't think needed to be in it. The him putting on his outfit and him putting on his helmet and that the grandeur of that music, I didn't really dig. I think they're just like they're doing it too much. For me, that was just my opinion. And I did not like the Clash of the Titans fucking creature, dude. I did not like that dude. It reminded me of the recent Clash of the Titans, the 1982 one. So I didn't think that looked very, very great. I do want to give props though. You guys over there at Lucasfilm, and especially Favreau and Filoni and Rodriguez, you have filled in a gap that I have been wanting to know since I was a little kid. And now I know. Now I know how he got out. I don't have to deal with the legends or the comics. You gave me an out of how he got out. You gave me a response. So thank you for that. But other than that, I thought it was cool, man. It's Boba Fett, Star Wars, and Star Wars cool things. And we have new characters and all that. And I think it's going to get a lot better. So that's my take.
So going into it, I expected to get flashbacks from it. It just seemed like you sort of had to do that, I guess, to get to where you are now if it's going to take place in the timeline that we expected. Because you can't start this show off without explaining how he got out of the Sarlacc. And I see some friends of ours like kicking back to the episode of Parks and Rec that Patton Oswalt was on trying to do a filibuster when they were trying to keep Ted Day a thing, and he talks about what he thinks The Force Awakens will be like, and it's essentially the beginning of the Book of Boba Fett, and people are like, oh my gosh, I bet they did this on purpose, and I'm more like, oh my gosh, there was literally nothing else they could do to start this show. That's they had to do this, and it was very well done. My main complaint with the episode, and mind you, a filmmaker I am not, but a lot of it felt very small, like literally just outside of what you see on the screen. It's not that anymore. That none of the shots were pulled back far when they're in the desert. It's all uptight on them, and it felt little. And I was surprised at that because, you know, one of the things they'll typically do, it's like in A New Hope and in Force Awakens both. Now, mind you, I realize this is not a film. It's not a feature-length film. They show the vastness of the desert to pinpoint the the desolation and the loneliness. And they didn't do any of that. They were up on everything so tight so that they didn't have to come up with a way to make it look good. Having said all that, I still thoroughly enjoyed it. And even though some of the dialogue was a little clunky, and yeah, the sand creature, dude, I'm so glad you said the original Clash of the Titans, because I was trying to think, what is this reminding me of? Yeah. And that was it. But the stroke of genius of having the kid who you, oh, that little bastard, you just wanted to kill him.
Yeah.
To have him bragging that he's the one who iced this sand monster, and to have that kid's dad know he's full of crap that drink over to Boba Fett.
That was rad.
That was a cool move. That was was good stuff, man.
That was really cool. That was really cool. Randy, what'd you think?
As far as the rating, I'd give it like a 7. I think there was some cool stuff happened. Little like Zabon parkour scene, like little chase.
Yeah, the Aladdin scene.
The Aladdin scene, I forgot your person. Yes. Yeah, that scene was really cool. I like all the stuff in the Mos Espa Cantina with the band and all that. Those kind of like little throwbacks. But yeah, like a lot of the stuff where he was inside Hutt's palace and like just getting everything kind of like started to operate, like doing the tributes and all that. That stuff I liked. But most of the other stuff where they're doing like what the stuff they just kind of have to do because that's what everyone's expecting, I wasn't really awestruck by it.
Were you happy with the way that he got out of the Sarlacc pit?
Yeah, there's really only one way he can really get out.
Like Eric said, like
what you expected. Yeah, I don't think it was like particularly.
Question for all you guys though, but the stormtrooper in there, when the hell did he get in there? I mean, I know it could have been in there for a while, but am I missing something? Was there any stormtroopers on the sail barge?
That's a good question. So the answer is no on that. And I think that one of the points that they make about the stormtroopers about the Sarlacc is that you'll digest slowly over a period of 1,000 years.
That's right.
And in the events of A New Hope, you had tons of stormtroopers roaming
combing the desert
in there. And so I think that was to make that point. Now, with all that being the case, it's never really been strictly in canon that the stormtrooper's helmet is hermetically sealed, oxygen delivered sort of thing.
Yeah, that was interesting.
But I mean, it's cool. It's like whatevs. I can tell you my stormtrooper armor doesn't have this, but most stormtrooper armor doesn't have a fat dude with long hair in it either. But while you bring that up, it did remind me that I feel substantially less bad for those Jawas that got disintegrated in season one of The Mandalorian.
Fuck them,
those
bro.
Little bastards.
Right, they're little bastards. Now, wouldn't it have been cool, though, to see one of the characters that we saw fall off in there? Like, because it would have been the same exact time frame. Yeah. That would have been cool, but whatever. Maybe that was too fan service-y, but whatever.
There was some stuff in here that I felt like they were beating you over the head a little bit.
Yeah,
The cantina theme. Apparently the only song that's allowed in there, but it did have that nice flamenco guitar and the dude playing Steinberger headless guitar from the 80s.
Yeah.
And his picking technique is phenomenal.
That's what Les said in the reaction video. He goes, man, look at him pick.
Seriously, I bet that guy was a guitar player because when you watch how he picks, it's all from the wrist. And that's very non-intuitive for people. They want to do a lot of arm stuff if they're not actually a guitar player. So picking strictly from the wrist and the fluidity of it was pretty good. Nice. So here's another thing. I thought the Twi'leks were pretty rad.
They were rad. They were rad.
And I am a little surprised to like Jennifer Beals. She looks amazing.
She has the best
teeth in the world. But
dude, she looked great.
She's so Caucasian. And what's the score? So here's something that
she's so Caucasian is what he said.
Well, seriously, because we've never been introduced to a Twi'lek that wasn't any color besides your typical white person, you know? And so is this a thing where she is, how would I phrase this? Like, has she had a procedure done to make herself more homogenized?
You mean a color peel?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
She's the child of a mixed of parents.
I mean, does that just mean that they all come in every shade and color? That's what they are.
It just means that they hired fucking Jessica Bills and she didn't want to be painted a different color.
Jennifer Beals.
Or Jennifer Bills, whatever her fucking name
Flash
is.
She's like, I'm Jennifer freaking Beals.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. She's like, I'm not going to change my skin color. She's like, I'm just going in there, man. I want them to recognize me. Simple as that.
She looked good.
Yeah, she looked
great. She looked great.
I was going to say, too, I would be interested to know, like, how such much of the time. Yes. Thank yes, you. She is. I was kind of hoping she'd, like, weld something. In that,
yes, exactly, thing. Or sit in a chair and something fall on her, you know, like water.
But rein it in, man. I would be interested to find out how much. Of course, did you notice though in that scene where she was doing the break dancing to the Cantina band? It was actually a guy dressed up as her. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
No.
That's a good one, though.
So, oh, yeah,
that's a deep dive into Flashdance. Yes.
So, wow. I wonder how much of the rooftop running around scene was Ming-Na Wen in the Fennec Shand costume? Because some of it was, I'm almost positive, because of how, like, she squares her hips and her shoulders when she moves without her helmet on, and you can tell it's her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if somebody either really went out of their way to imitate her gait, or that's her running across that room.
Yeah, it's probably her, yeah. I love the fact that Boba Fett disintegrates a dude and then says, I want one to keep him alive right after the fact. That was rad. That was cool. Boo, what'd you think?
Yeah, no, I liked it. I agree. I think it's maybe a 7 or an 8. You know, it's not perfect. And I think they needed to do the flashbacks and stuff like that and the fan service. The things I was more interested in was how the Empire works as far as, you know, Jabba's former criminal empire, you know, the respect that he had. And it's interesting to see how he's like, people have to see me. People have to know that I'm in control. I've taken over. And a lot of people don't know, kind of thing. So some people are unaware of what's going on, you know. Jabba's gone, or not Jabba, Bib Fortuna's gone. So it's like, okay, all right. You know, so I thought that was interesting. And how quickly people are moving in, I guess. You know, you saw the S.H.I.E.L.D. dudes move in. They're like, all right, now's our chance to take some space here for away from him. So I thought that was pretty cool. And it's interesting to see that Boba's not 100%. Not 100% at all.
Yeah, that's true. Good call. Good call. Yeah.
Doing good. I thought it made sense that he was in the Bacta tank just because you know, he didn't look that good before. Now he looks great, but it looks like he needs more or needs to stay in there for a little bit longer. So that's going to be an interesting thing going on.
We know why he's burnt too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I thought the action was pretty cool. One thing that I think is even awesome, or more awesome now that we see Boba Fett out of his helmet, at least, is Tamara Morrison's facial reactions. Yeah. I think he's a good or great like face actor, like when he's in the fights or when he's right about to kill a dude or something like that. That's awesome. I think that's pretty cool because you see in other people they stay calm or something like that. No, he shows actual. Like aggression or dislike for somebody. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a pretty cool aspect. And it's interesting to see, you know, Boba Fett, you just see him as his calm, you know, cool, collected, you know, has a good plan going on, knows what to do. But, you know, behind that mask, he's pissed and he's crushing some dude's head with a bat or something like that. So I've been enjoying that. So yeah, but I thought it was good. A 7 or an 8, probably an 8 for me. I thought it was good. Can't really complain too much. But yeah, no, I agree with you guys' things. Yeah.
My biggest takeaway, like watching it, I'm just fucking very happy that Tamara Morrison has got like a meaty fucking role to like that is so the chances of him coming back from the prequels and having this awesome role now is just so slim. And it's fucking awesome.
I'm glad he said mate to that.
Oh, I am too. Yeah, I am too. I loved it. That's so cool.
I thought it was really cool the extended callback to young Boba Fett going and picking up his dad's helmet. And just like how much more to that there was. It was, that was really good. And I don't know who, like, if that was original footage and they just didn't use it, or, but it, who was the actor that did it?
It was new shot for this.
Was it? Do you know?
Was it really?
I saw the name of the actor, but I forgot what it was.
See, wow. He looked a lot like little Danny Logan.
Yeah.
that reminded me of something. Oh, do you think that the S.H.I.E.L.D. guys that came to grab Boba Fett were sent by the mayor?
Yes.
Yes. And I was going to ask you guys
earlier.
Yeah. And who is, by the way, people are freaking out because the Twi'lek didn't have a French accent, by the way. People are like losing their shit.
Oh, shit. Don't get
Okay. To that point, and to help Eric, maybe to help you out, Jennifer Beals is actually mixed. So her father's black and her mom's white. So
there you go.
Maybe that just. She's just an elite Trandoshan, I guess. You know, when you start mixing with black, you know, you never go
Twi'lek. So she ain't no Trandoshan.
Sorry, y'all. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. No, no, sorry no, about no, that. But yeah, she's an elite Twi'lek. There it is, man.
She's definitely elite. I can tell you that. But I was going to ask you guys, the mayor, like, who could this, you think this could be somebody? There's a lot of rumors, guys, and it's probably not going to happen. This is what we always do. We listen to the rumors, some of us, and then we get hyped up that Kira might be the mayor.
They would have killed him if Kira was the mayor.
Here's the thing. They specifically mention a name, and they specifically mention it's him.
Oh, damn it. Well, then there goes that.
But again, they would have... You have to think about this. The reason why I said OG is because Boba Fett is trying to become one. He's trying to go from being the top bounty hunter to now being a legit crime lord. Mm-hmm. And that's a transition that he's still picking himself up. He's still trying to build himself up from recovering from all the things he's had to go through. And now he's trying to step into a major, major, major operation. Like,
The only thing, like, if that's the case, then how did Bib Fortuna hold that position? For
right. How'd that piece of shit?
Because he's a fucking chump.
What I will tell you is he was probably a front for the mayor. The mayor more than likely was like, look, Bib, here's how this is going to work. And Bib was probably like, listen, let's just keep it going. Let's just keep things moving along and just do what we got to do here. Fine. It's you.
Because that dude just got killed like that. Like, yeah,
they
no protection.
Enter into, we all know the tropes. They enter into partnerships almost immediately, instantaneously after someone gets knocked off. It is. The only way to move up in that type of world is someone's got to die. You know, it's just how it goes.
I like the gangster names that they have, by the way. Pretty rad.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool. So, Les, you liked it. You gave it a 7?
I gave it an 8.5. Eight? I'm going to stay consistent with that 8.5. Because giving us that inside of the Sarlacc.
That was cool.
And... I can see now, I've seen a lot of people's, you know, dislike that, oh, Boba Fett's a badass. He'd never be this benevolent guy trying to, like, rule through respect and stuff. Well, he was almost eaten alive. And I can tell you this much. When you have brushes with death, you probably change your perspective just a tad bit. And you go, you know what? I can do some things, but I got to do it differently.
Well, not only that, I think the experience he had with the Tusken Raiders also had a lot to do with that and how he changes. Because the way he looks at that that raid, when they go in there and they beat the shit out of that guy, he's not happy about that. And you can tell he's not happy about that. So something's flipped. Something has changed. That's for sure. Now, King Tom, I'm going to ask for your review on this thing. And then I want you to, you found some Easter eggs. I heard there's some Easter eggs in this thing.
Yeah.
So what's your review first?
I give it about an 8.
Okay.
I was happy with it, and at the end, I wanted more. You know, they didn't. You don't really get an idea. You get a little bit of an idea of the vibe of the show, but you don't necessarily. It doesn't paint you a picture, draw you a map of where it's going. And for the first episode, out of what, 7, I think that's fine because it set it up. I liked the flashbacks. Reminded me a lot of Lost. It was like a Lost episode of Star Wars, and I do wonder, cool. are Are the other ones going to have as many flashbacks, or, you know, as much integrated, or are we just going to get, you know, a little bit more of what happens next and then the story going forward? I liked the world it set up. I thought the Mos Espa was a lot smaller than what we saw it here, but I liked that town they had. And, you know, like my one word, I really liked how they showed Boba as vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the shit kicked out of him.
He did, yeah.
And by the elements and by people. But, you know, he keeps trying.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I really liked it. And it didn't, we didn't get like a, oh, Baby Yoda moment at the end, or big reveal at the end. There was no, you know, yeah, there's some intrigue as to the mayor, but we didn't get any huge surprises though, but I'm fine with that.
Yeah. It's episode one, guys.
Yeah. Right.
Everybody needs to chill.
Exactly.
Can't be people are not chilling, Randy. No. People are mad that the Twi'lek didn't have a French accent. That's all I have to say.
That's crazy because, I mean, did they watch Rebels? Did they lose their shit over that? Right. And, you know, you see her, it's just like anybody else, man. When I moved to where I live now, where I grew up, people have, and I'm sure people consider my accent much more than like the people that live around me. But where I grew up, people had a very strong, not Southern accent, but more of a hill accent, because it was like right there at the convergence of Illinois, Indiana, and Kentucky, and the people talk like they're from the mountains, and it's Southern / I don't know, hillbilly, if you want to call it. And I've worked extremely hard over the course of years to neutralize it as much as possible and to have a flatter accent, which sometimes I shoot too far in another direction because of like mentally how I tried to smooth it out, right? That's just common. That's common stuff, man. I don't know why that has to be such a thing.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it either, buddy. Like, whatever.
I mean, did they complain that the male didn't have his teeth filed into points?
No,
they were too busy looking at his freaking pecs, man.
Yeah, he had some very nice pecs. I thought it was Les for a second.
Yeah, Les, what did you think of those pecs, dude?
He was green with envy.
Like, I
oh, yeah, no, that's really good.
Les, like, opinion. Like, did you stop it for a little bit to get over the jealousy?
Or? No, that gave me hope, man. That means when I'm in my, you know, I'm 43, so hopefully I'll be able to finally chisel things down.
What, is that guy older, you think?
Sure.
That dude was younger than
that dude was like 21.
The only guy that would may in this group that may.
Wait. Are we talking about whose pecs are we talking about?
We're talking about the Twi'leks.
No, I'm talking about when Boba was coming out of the tank. I'm
oh like, no, right, not man. Him. Tim looks good. We're talking about the green Twi'lek, bro.
Nah, Twi'lek. Whatever. Yeah. No, there's only one Twi'lek that matters, and that's Jennifer Beals' Twi'lek character.
So. Jessica Beale's great too.
That's a good.
Would she ever appear in a Star Wars of any type?
Who's that? Jessica Biel?
Yeah.
Yes. Why wouldn't she? Everybody wants to be in the Star Wars.
Why shouldn't she?
That's right. Bingo. It's King Tom. That's
my question.
Yes.
Easter egg, I guess, Easter Bunny.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. let's see. The obviously we saw a lot of Boba in what our friend Haas Burkhardt called flashback juice, but that is
flashback juice.
The same element used to heal Luke Skywalker.
Yes.
In the Empire Strikes Back, we talked about how the beginning of the episode we saw, you know, some shots of Kamino and Geonosis from Attack of the Clones, and like we mentioned, that was new footage filmed.
Amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I can't believe they rebuilt that city.
Unbelievable.
On Kamino.
All that water, especially during hopefully it wasn't California with the drought. That would suck.
Yeah. There are some people claiming that this episode retconned the special edition of Return of the Jedi because you do not see the Sarlacc's beak.
Oh,
shit.
That's one of those things that's up in the air because it could always be that part of the Sarlacc's anatomy withdraws, you know, like a frightened turtle. whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
it can.
Yeah, it didn't stick out the whole time in the special edition. It extended during.
Right.
Hey,
right.
We did see some of the tentacles, but not all of them.
Right. Very much like me.
I think we're done here.
Oh, Sarlacc was in the pool. We saw a few old friends.
Sarlacc was in the pool. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you.
Yeah, he deserved it.
I'm sorry.
We saw a few old friends from Return of the Jedi. That one droid that was introducing the guests. The credits had him listed as something else, but Pablo Hidalgo said that that was 8D8, the torture droid.
Oh, it was. Still that, okay.
Still working.
Yeah. He's still got, yeah. He's got a SAG card. Good for him.
Yeah, from Return of the Jedi. We also saw Max Rebo, the blue elephant keyboard player in the casino there. And, you know, he survived in Legends, and he also survived in Robot Chicken Star Wars. So it's not a surprise that we saw him here.
Was he in Captain EO? Do you guys remember?
Ooh, I'm going to say no to that.
He wasn't in Captain EO?
Where would he have been?
Some other fucking musician alien. Okay, my bad.
No, he wasn't there.
Yeah.
I thought I remember. Yeah, Les, you remember him in Captain EO?
Weren't they this? It was a different color, though, right?
Oh.
Or it was a chubbier kind of elephantish.
Maybe it was just another part of him.
Oh, gosh.
Okay,
go ahead. I can't believe I was part of that shit right now.
Yeah, you were. Thank you for divulging in there. Go ahead.
The credits that they gave to Boba Fett, filled his helmet with, those were Republic credits.
Oh, they're not worth shit.
Obviously, the New Republic is, taking effect here. When the people were lining up to pay tribute, the Transdotion representative, it looked like, gave him a carpet, but that's supposed to be a Wookiee pelt.
Yeah, I thought that's what that was. Yeah.
The Transdotions and Wookiees have a long-standing rivalry. I think we saw that in an episode of the Clone Wars.
These bastards.
The people who were defacing that one homestead.
Mm. Yes, what was that?
They were the mining collective from that episode that kind of terrorized the town of Mos Pelgo in the season 2 opener of The Mandalorian.
Oh, Les thought it said JL for Jabba Lives. I was like, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Jabba Lives.
Right. And then the
book. Hey, no, that's a good one.
Yeah, the episode title, this is the last one I have, Stranger in a Strange Land, which many people think is a tribute to the sci-fi novel by Robert Heinlein, I believe.
Oh.
I personally think it's a tribute to the worst episode of one of the best TV series of all time in Lost, where we finally find out how Jack gets his tattoos.
That's right, the tattoo episode.
I already knew he was going to say the tattoo episode.
Yeah,
that was a really wanted to think episode. That it was a tribute to Iron Maiden, so there.
Oh.
Okay, that too.
Interesting. Doesn't Van Gogh have a painting called Stranger in a Strange Land? Also? Maybe I'm wrong. No. All right. No. That's not a joke. I'm serious. No. I have to preface everything now when I say it's not a fucking joke.
But well, we can't trust you. Yeah.
No, I apologize.
That's all I got. You have been Easter egged.
Thank you. You dropped us, Easter Bunny.
You've been Easter egged.
We've been egged. We've been yoked. We've been yoked. I like it. Very interested to see where this thing's going, Eric. I really am, man. And this is that first episode was just a primer, and we're going to get some cool shit. I have a good feeling about this show.
Yeah, me too, man. I do hope that they don't just jump straight out of like the flashback thing and we see his continued interaction with the Tusken Raiders.
Right.
But
that's true.
There were elements of that I thought drug on a little bit too long, but I did like how it ended up.
Yeah, I did too.
That punk-ass kid. Oh, my gosh.
Well, thank you, Eric. Thank you for doing that. And King Tom, thank you for the Easter egg and yoking us. That was great, too. Appreciate that. And we have an email from Lumberjack Nick, guys. Hey, y'all. First off, hope y'all had a great Christmas. Secondly, Spider-Man No Way Home, I really love how the movie succeeds to end so tragically pointed, but also left me such high hopes and excitement for where the franchise hopefully is heading. Rock bottom, down and out, Peter Parker is the best Peter Parker. Thirdly, Book of Boba Fett. Been waiting for Boba Fett show slash movie since I was a pubescent. Not sure if this show is going to be what I would have expected, but I'm excited for it nonetheless. I think what I'm most excited about are the cameos. And the first episode had some great appetizers or apps, as the kids say. In the Aftermath books, I believe it says that the sail barge fell into the Sarlacc pit, cutting it open. I always really loved the idea, and I wish it would have used this in the show. Hopefully, y'all have a great new year, Lumberjack Nick. King Tom, you, I think, Eric, you read the Aftermath books, correct?
Yeah. The sail barge is what killed the Sarlacc. But how and, like, to what extent?
And when? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that would have been cool, Lumberjack. And thanks for emailing, Lumberjack. We miss you, buddy. Hope you had a great Christmas. Hope you have a better New Year's. And I did find a couple of crazy trailers for some games. I know we had fun with the last one. And I want to bring a couple of them up right now. And I'm really wondering if Eric or Randy hasn't played any of these games. The first one is a game called Champion Jockey, guys. Yeah. Champion Jockey. Check this trailer out. Now, I think it's a Wii game. Graphics are awful. Look at this guy. There's a guy giving hand jobs.
Connect. Oh, yeah.
There's literally a dude in a button-up shirt riding a horse, a fake horse.
Right before he became single again.
Yes, right before he became single again. He looks like he's giving a double hand job. Oh, look at him. I wish the listeners could watch this. Yes. I want you guys to definitely.
Speechless.
Yes.
This is bad.
It's worse than bad. I want everybody to take your time and find this game. Okay?
Or not. Yeah.
No, they have to watch
it. Oh, my. Drive, baby. Drive.
It says driving.
Drive.
The oh.
The intensity on his face, though.
Look at him. Intensity on the face. He's not
smiling anymore.
No, he's not. And would you be if you're in this commercial? Look at him. Oh,
it's the home stretch, baby. It is the home stretch.
Shit. Wow, that was a photo finish.
He's tired. He's tired. Woo. He's spent. Yeah, look at him. He's so excited. That was awesome, he said.
Wow.
Oh, he's put his hand up in some kind of Nazi. Wow. You can also do two players, guys. And look. We have, not only do we have him, but now we have a female. And they're both doing
on the
some
PlayStation
kind of,
move.
And they ride horses totally different.
They totally ride, but hey, same now same
she's
results.
She's laughing at him.
He's like, yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, Wii, available on all of these. Now, please check this out. It's called Champion Jockey. Unbelievable. Now, how does this get greenlit? I don't know. Now, there's a last one. I'm going to save some of these because there was a couple of really bad ones, but I want to save those till later. There's this game called Black Tiger. Oh. You guys remember this?
I think I do know Black Tiger.
Okay. Well, Black Tiger didn't come out too long ago. I think it was 2017, but the trailer looks just god awful. Let's see if you can narrate this for people.
Why the fuck would I have to narrate this shit, dude? The fuck?
Like, I'm telling you, 2017, this came out. It's a Black Tiger.
Well, it looks like 1993 World of Warcraft.
It does.
First and
it's
foremost.
Awful.
It
looks horrible.
Well, check this out. It's a tiger just killing other animals.
Well, yep, you're the Black Tiger killing animals in the forest. God damn.
Big-ass tiger.
Yeah, oh, but, shit.
And then look at this. It's like angel wolves. I don't know what those are.
Nah,
what,
he's just murdering a pack of wolves. He's like, fuck the Starks.
Look, and then he finds another tiger in his heart. They make love, evidently. And then he kicks a fish in the air, and then it dies by hitting it. And then this is the best part. He goes after a crocodile or an alligator.
Okay, so you could try to do some Game of Thrones references here, but I don't know if there's a crocodile in the house.
There's
any of the houses.
Well,
Target's seeing better days. He's got a big old gash on the side.
What's amazing about this?
2017, man.
Yeah, it's this looks awful. And how
he's gonna kill these doggies? No, oh my god! For his tiger quip, for his tiger quip,
right? It was like a multi kill right there.
It was a multi kill. Well,
okay, I get it. I get it. I get it.
Black tiger, black tiger. Mm.
And this was on the PlayStation YouTube channel as a commercial. Like somebody greenlit this thing. It is awful. So guys, please check that out.
I mean, maybe they're trying to really give tigers their due because they technically are the bigger, they're the biggest big cat and probably the actually best all around big cat.
Well, if they're trying to give them
lions,
their due,
lions that get too did much credit. I know.
I'd rather play that than champion jockey.
Would you though, Randy? Imagine being at a party. I mean, being at a party, have a little liquor in you, and playing championship jockey.
No, I'm playing Black Tiger right now, guys. Be quiet.
If only you could control
eight dogs.
The tiger in the same manner that you control the horses in jockey.
Yes,
then you'd have something.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, that's awful.
The dual stroke method.
Right.
The ski poles.
The ski poles. Yeah. The skiing moguls is the best in that thing. So guys, we're going to end this thing right now. I just want to let you know that the Batman we lost Les. Les is dying. I think we should get for like a New Year's Eve party, we should get the jockey game. I think it'd be great.
Oh, that'd be a tough find.
Yeah, that would be tough.
I'm so sorry.
That'd be a tough find, Randy says. I'm not bringing my personal copy over. I might have trouble getting another one if it gets lost.
I don't want that thing getting scratched.
That's right. It's a collector's item.
Exactly.
Guys, there was a Batman trailer, and we're not allowed to actually watch it on this podcast or on this, what we're doing right now. We're just not allowed to watch it. I'm not going to tell you why we're not allowed to watch it, because some people on this podcast will get sued. But I will say the trailer is phenomenal. And it has a lot of information in it. Right. Maybe a little bit too much information, because after I watched it, I was like, I feel like I know the entire movie. But I wish I could just talk to people about this, but I really can't. But guys, I think that wraps up this episode. I don't know, anything else anybody want to bring up at all? No? Everybody's good? Doctor Strange 2 reshoots, guys. Let me throw this out there real quick. There were Doctor Strange 2 reshoots. I think King Tom, Boo brought it up on the Boo Bits a while ago, and people were going, oh, the movie sucked, blah, blah, blah. The reason why there was Doctor Strange reshoots, and the Hollywood Reporter confirmed this, was they wanted to make it more of a multiverse type of thing and add more characters that we might know and love. So it's a good thing that these reshoots were happening. So there you have it. That came from the Hollywood Reporter. And I think that's it, guys. This was a Boba Fett kind of heavy show. Can't wait to get into chapter 2 next week. Mr. Struthers, where could people find you?
Well, probably on Xbox Live at MouseRat2217, or follow me on Twitter at Eric Struthers for my once a week tweet about my other podcast, The Bad Motivators.
Yes, and they had a great Wisdom app show that they put out there. It was really cool. And listen, people, I know that we were supposed to do a Wisdom today when we're recording this before, talk about Book of Boba Fett. We pushed that till January because we were forced to, but that's okay, Wisdom. We're good with it if you're good with it. Randy, I'll see you in New Year's.
Yep. I'll bring Black Tiger.
Oh my God, I can't wait. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Boo, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Sith List Boo.
God, I would love to watch you play that jockey game, Boo. I mean, I would pay to watch you play that game.
We can make it happen.
Enough booze in me, and I might play that game, yeah.
I've seen you play that game without playing that game. King Tom, where can people find you? Wait, hold on for a second. Hold on for a second, King Tom. I'm sorry. Boo, do you remember when you were so drunk on New Year's Eve once, and we were out in Hollywood, and you ran down the street, and you were sprinting, but you weren't moving anywhere?
Yeah, I was high stepping. Yeah.
You were high stepping, and he thought he was sprinting.
I was flying.
And we were walking.
Bolt that shit.
We were walking faster than he was running. Like, he had to catch up with us. Oh, that was a night. That was a night, Boo.
I think that was the same night I asked if I could pet a police dog.
Yes, that is the same night. At 7-Eleven.
Yeah. And the officer was like, no, not tonight. I was like, thanks.
That dog would have black tigered your ass for sure.
Fuck, you would have.
You would have been slapped.
One swipe. Multi-kill.
Yeah. Multi-kill. King Tom, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Where can people find you dropping yolk?
You can find me slinging the Easter eggs no matter what time of year it is on Twitter. Ooh. Tom Chansky.
Damn, that's why he's the king. Yeah,
Patreon shows for Blue Harvest, Steel Wars, and the Bad Motivators.
That's the yellow yolk. That's the yellow yolk in face. Les Gonzalez, where can people find you making YouTube comments? Not the Soothless channel. Go ahead, buddy.
You can find me on Twitter at LesIsWorth78 and also apparently just sitting there on our Soothless YouTube channel and also on this podcast.
No, you react like a motherfucker. It's great. I love it. Eric, where can people find you? We already did Eric, didn't we?
Yes. Maybe it's changed.
Has it changed?
Yeah, I quit the Bad Motivators in between when you mentioned it before and now. So.
Oh, man. And you can find me at The Sith List. Guys, this is our Happy New Year episode. We hope you have a wonderful, healthy, safe New Year's. Don't drink and drive. Don't text and drive.
Don't drive.
Don't drive with your pets on your lap. Let's not get crazy, Randy. But guys, please be safe. And we want you to be able to listen so we can get a download. So guys, catch me at The Sith List. I'm on YouTube with my friend and pal, Les Gonzalez. Also, catch us for episode number 283 next week, right here in 2022 on The Sith List.
I said the thing about the lady, her husband's died, and at the funeral, she asks his best friend if he would get up and say something. And so he gets up to the podium and grabs a hold of it and thanks for a second, and then he just says, bargain, walks off. She said, thank you. That means a great deal.
That's the type of joke that I love.